This is New Thoughts for Actors and Filmmakers, where we discuss overcoming fear and self-doubt and help to build in those resources to physically, mentally, and emotionally be at your best, no matter what side of the camera you may be on. Thank you so much for joining us for episode 3 of the podcast. My name is Nathan Gist.
I'm Jim Klock, and today we're going to speak about a healthy approach to preparation as an actor and filmmaker.
All right, this is it. They finally said yes. They said, okay, here's your script. You did a good read. Now all of a sudden you're getting ready to step on stage. Or perhaps they called you back and said, okay, you're the one, you and maybe 2 or 3 other people. Oh no. What happens in those moments when all of a sudden that sits in and you're thinking, okay, can I really do this? What's one of the best ways to perform under pressure?
Ooh, that's a great one. You know, we get so excited as actors and filmmakers to get our opportunity. You know, you book the job, right? And all of a sudden, it's the night before you show up to set and you just have anxiety out of every which way.
Right.
You know, it's coming at you. It's coming at you 10 different ways to Sunday. And one of the things that I've learned over the years is how to, in a healthy way, take those negative voices and release them in a healthy way and still go into my preparation with a joyful, childlike faith. Mm-hmm. The reason being is I have learned that if my preparation is joyful, if my preparation is full of confidence and curiosity and vulnerability, then my performance tends to have all of those same things.
Yeah.
But this is something that really affects so many actors and filmmakers. And it's probably the number one thing when I work with people, I say, what are you challenged with? It's usually something with anxiety to some degree that they are going to fail, not be enough, whatever the case is. So when you do get that opportunity, right, you book the job or you're the director that finally gets the $2 million to go make your film,
mm-hmm.
and you've spent 10 years chasing money for this film, and it's day one and you're directing a movie star and all of that pressure is on your shoulders and you feel like you can't breathe, what do you do? What do you tell someone who's dealing with that much anxiety and feeling like all of the results are on their shoulders in that moment?
It's a really magical thing. Are you ready? Are you prepared?
Mm-hmm.
Lean in on this one.
Okay.
Breathe. Because that's one of the most important things you can do. Let's do that together. Deep breath in. And just let it go. Notice that right there. That is probably one of the best things we can do. And to be intentional about that breath. And I know you're like, well, wait a second. What's that got to do with this and this and whatever? Because to your brain, if you're not getting that breath, none of this other stuff is important at all, mm-hmm. at all, right? It's not worried about your kids. It's not worried about your job, your anything. It's worried about the next breath. And so in those moments, if you can kind of step out of it for just a moment and say, okay, I'm going to breathe. I'm going to take a moment. And there's tons of breathing techniques that are out there, right? I mean, everybody's got something that you can do. But that's really important. And then also, too, when all of that stuff is happening to us, it's good to identify what that feeling is that's showing up. When you're talking about all that pressure that's showing up for somebody, if you kind of pause for a moment, I'll just walk you through an exercise. It's really simple. So if, we'll just say it's pressure.
Okay.
And if you know what, let me walk you through it if that's okay.
Yeah.
So you're thinking about that scenario, you have the acting job, everything's leaning on you on this. And so I'll just simply ask you this, what's that feeling that's showing up for you? What do you notice?
Generally speaking, it would be a negative thought. You know, this is not going to go well, or they're not going to like it. It's the director's not going to like this take. Okay. Producer's not going to like this take.
And so what feeling would you connect with that? What's the actual physical feeling that you would say, yeah, what would you say?
Usually a lack of confidence.
Confidence, mm-hmm. right. Or a lack of confidence, right? Not feeling confident, whatever it might be. And perhaps that's the thing for you. And so now I want you to flip this exercise for yourself. So whatever that answer was for you, I'll begin to work with you with this now. So now I want you to identify what that feeling is, first of all. Give it a name, right? I'm stressed, I'm anxious, I'm worried, I'm scared, I'm not enough, I'm whatever. And I want you to check in your body physically, where does that feeling show up for you? Is it in your arms, your chest, your back, your stomach? Identify where that location is. And notice, too, what that sensation feels like. Does it feel like a wave, a pulse, a tingle, electric? Like, what's that sensation feel like for you? I know it sounds a little silly, but if I were to ask you, what's that feeling, what color would that feeling be? Bring that up. And if there's any other way to describe it, is there a sound? Is there a texture? Is there any other way to describe that feeling, right? Some people say it's heavy. Some people feel it's stuck, sticky, or maybe it's hot or cold or whatever it might be. And then all I want you to do is imagine a box in front of you or a cup in front of you. In some way, somehow, you grabbed a hold of that feeling, wherever it is there in your body, that color, and took it and you kind of just dropped it, plopped it right into that box or that cup. And just imagine kind of setting it off to the side. And let me ask you this. With all of that stuff you were just talking about, right? Now's the time for the show. You're welcome to the big game. Here we go, whatever it might be. How would you rather feel in that? Perhaps it's confident. Maybe it's strong. Maybe it's inspired. Maybe it's creative. Maybe it's excited, whatever it might be. Whatever that feeling is, now I want you to go into your body and start thinking about that. What does that physically feel like, even if it's been a long time since you felt confident? Go in your body and start imagining that feeling, that sensation in your body. Now notice where that is. And what does it feel like? Is it a wave, a pulse, a tingle, electric? Like, what's that sensation feel like? And then allow that sensation to begin to spread from that place. If it started in your chest or your heart, make it move into your abdomen and your back and your shoulders, your arms, your legs, your fingertips, the top of your head, all around you. And imagine that color too. What color is confidence? What color is self-control? What is discipline? What does that feel like to you? What color does that look like? And same thing, spread that all over you. And then almost breathe it in like a mist. Confident. Every cell, every fiber, every single bit of your being. And I want you to notice a couple of things right there. That first feeling that was there, notice, look inside. Even try to find that right now. Yeah. Notice how weak that becomes, how small that becomes because you set it off to the side. And so the point in this exercise, a couple of things. First of all, I want you to notice who changed it, who moved it. You. Who's in control? You. See, thoughts and feelings are emotions. They're all fickle. They come and go like the wind, right? Like they're here, they go, and it's gone. But the thing to recognize, the moment, like you just did, to step out of that, to begin to see those sensations, feelings that are showing up in the body and moving those like you did, now all of a sudden that gives you back control. So if you're feeling fear, but I can remove it, guess what? That's this magical word called disassociation. You're disassociating from that thing. You're taking that feeling outside of you and you're bringing up that feeling inside of you that you do want. And when you begin to create that in your body physically, it begins to change the way that your mind works as well, right? If I'm feeling down, oh, I can't do it, right? But now all of a sudden I'm feeling confident, I'm feeling strong, I'm bringing up the stuff that I want. Now again, that gives you control. So imagine walking onto the set with that confident feeling you just talked about. Imagine next time you're thinking about writing that script or going for that audition, but you're in a physical state inside of you, mentally, emotionally, that is a positive place for you. When you step in there, you're bringing that. You're not hoping it shows up. You're creating it before you even walk in the door. You're creating it as you're doing it.
Is so many things that popped in my head as you were doing that exercise. And I'm going to jump around with some different experiences I've had working on set. And one of them was I was doing the Oscar-winning film, The Green Book, with the great Peter Farrelly directed. Amazing film, amazing experience. And there's a young man playing my partner, Billy, and it's his first big movie, his first, you know, big part. Mm. And he's my young cop partner, right? And we're doing this scene, and we do a rehearsal, and he comes back, and we're in this old car, and he's shaking his head at me. And he says, man, how are you so confident with those guys? Those guys are movie stars. He's talking about Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali. He says, you're so confident. And I said, well, between action and cut, we're all the same, brother.
Wow.
But let me take you back to a time before that when I didn't feel that. Mm. And I can remember being on set and feeling so much. I was on a show called True Detectives, and I can remember getting to set and feeling so excited and ready to be there and just wanting to play, right, and work with these amazing guys who were amazing. But when we got there and we started rehearsing, some of the behavior made me feel small.
Mm.
Okay? Some of the behavior from other people. Now, here's the truth. That's what I told myself. I told myself, oh, this movie star's kind of treating me a certain way, like I'm not on the same level.
We had a filter.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not true.
Mm.
that they were doing their job. They were just doing them. That negative voice started telling me, you don't belong here. You're just a guest star. You don't belong here. You're on set with these two major movie stars, man. Like, I physically felt myself. My shoulders rolled in. Then I sat down, and I felt myself become quiet. I set myself in a corner. And it really wasn't until rehearsal that I got up, and in rehearsal, because I was playing a detective, and I had been a real-life detective, one of the things I knew about being a real cop was everything is your presence in uniform.
Right.
That's the first line of, hey, I'm here to help. I'm prepared. I'm qualified, right? So when I stood up and my shoulders went back and my chest went out, and I walked on the set, and one of the movie stars we had not rehearsed on action, he turns and he throws this thing at me, and I catch it in my hand. And I just look at him and I throw it back down. And I remember in that moment being like, oh gosh, what just happened? What just happened to me in that moment, right? The physicality of me standing up straight,
yep.
The confidence came back. So between action and cut, I felt confident.
Yep.
I didn't see movie star in me as a newer actor. I didn't see that.
Right.
So all those years later, though, it comes up to someone else looking at me and seeing me as being super confident. But it was through challenges. It was through the, you know, you go through the fire and you come out on the other side and you're stronger and you're more knowledgeable. And, you know, anxiety is such a, it's such a dangerous tool to anybody, right? To just anybody walking around trying to live. But to a creative, especially when you're on set and the more free you are, and the more relaxed you are, the more you can receive. And anxiety works against that, yeah, right?
Amen.
So yeah. Javier Bardem says, he talks about great takes. He says, I don't believe in that. Well, maybe that was a great take. Maybe. Well, that was a bad take. Well, maybe. And he also says all the time, what if? Hey, why don't you do this on that one? Okay, what if? But do you notice how both of those are very relaxing?
Right.
So just me saying that to you, if I say, hey, you're going to come to set and work today, Nathan, I'm going to direct you in a scene. And I just say to you, I'm like, hey, there's no good or bad take, brother. I'm going to love everything.
Right.
Okay. And there's no right answer to this. And also, right.
Yeah.
Right. But why do we wait for someone else to give us that permission?
Well said.
And why do we let someone else take away the power? What would help if you were me on that set and someone you felt was making you feel like you weren't an equal, or you weren't on the same, what would you say to that young actor to keep the confidence that maybe wasn't a policeman? Like, what if I wouldn't have been a police officer before my prior life and got up and had the physicality to change? What would you say?
Why are you there today? First of all, they chose you for the role. Congratulations, you're right there, right? And so if you're feeling that they don't like you, or they're feeling that you don't, not doing what you're supposed to and all this kind of stuff, get out of that. Is that what your character's supposed to be feeling?
Good point.
Right? Go back to the character. Go back to what you're there for in the first place. You are here to play this person in this way, the best interpretation of who you are if you were in that kind of circumstance. You mentioned Billy Bob Thornton before on some of the previous episodes. And I remember watching an interview with him, and he's like, I just play me.
Yep.
If I was in that circumstance. And it's kind of like, oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. And people hire Billy to play Billy in those circumstances. And so we look at those things and we recognize that, you know, you're there for your reason. And if you can step out of all the stuff as you, the individual, versus you, the character, it kind of takes that away. Plus, also, if you do feel like you're intimidated by all those people around you, I know it sounds silly and ridiculous, because it is silly and ridiculous, start imagining them as your family and friends. And if you don't want them there... I do an exercise with people too when they're really trying to overcome fears. I'll have them imagine that situation, but everybody's got those bobbleheads, the mascots for baseball, right? And you start seeing that around you, it becomes a little bit ridiculous. It takes that stuff away. Or just simply imagining the person when they say action, that's your best friend ready to play. And just play.
Yeah.
And then whatever shows up, shows up. And a wonderful phrase I learned a long time ago that has just spoken volumes into my life. Some will, some won't, so what?
Oh.
Some will like you, some won't, so what?
And so for our listeners that don't know this, I actually met Nathan. I came to Nathan and started working with him because I wanted to be more emotionally available. as an actor. And so that was one of my favorite phrases you taught me. And I not only do I use it every day, but I write it at the top of my worksheet every day.
Nice.
Right at the top of my worksheet. So, it's interesting because everything you just brought up is not only useful, I wish I would have known it when I was younger, but I do now because of my position, I get to tell people is, you know, you're going to be on set and you're going to work with some directors who are excited. Peter Farley. Peter Farley made everyone feel comfortable and he was loving and he was funny and we were doing some serious subject matter, but outside of action and cut, it didn't feel that way, you know? Or the day I get there, we shot out of order. The day I get there to shoot Green Book, I got this really intense scene with Mahershala Ali and I'm playing a racist police officer in Alabama in the 60s. Mm. And I don't get the meeting before rehearsal. I don't even get to say hello. And I've got to come out with these hateful things. And we do the rehearsal and he comes up and smiles at me and shakes my hand and puts his hand on the back of my back. It was just this beautiful way of saying, hey, this is okay. I know we're playing make-believe.
Wow.
And I trust you.
Yeah.
This is good. I know this isn't you. And it gave me so much confidence and freedom to really then, because as Peter Farley said, hey, you can't play this guy a little racist. You can't dip your toe in. You've got to honor the text and what this was like in Alabama at this time. You've got to go, right? But that freedom that Mahershala gave me is sometimes you're going to work with directors who are more quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And they might not be upbeat and come pat you on the back after every take. And so Jamie Lee Curtis taught me this on a show called Scream Queens, and I'll never forget it. She said, the only compliment I need is moving on.
Yeah.
And what that means is, that means they're done with that scene. I got what I needed. We're moving on to the next scene. She didn't need pats on the back. She didn't need anyone to come over and say, gosh, you're so great every take. Mm-hmm. She just needed to hear, moving on. So some of that stuff now where I am is like, it's really trying to get to the place of, I'm not swayed by whatever this set feels like, mm-hmm. right? I'm there to do a job. I am this character. I'm going to take it from wherever I am in that moment, because that's honest, and honesty leads to more honesty, okay? And if you like it, great. If not, you'll give me a note,
right.
And we'll continue playing that. But it really does come down to, how do you get yourself so mentally strong? Because if you're a newer actor and you're on a set with movie stars, you feel the weight. It's a weight.
Bet. Yeah.
You know, it's a weight. What else would you say to somebody who maybe is going to work that day, okay? It's their first big job, and they're working across Brad Pitt. They're going to spend the day in a scene with Brad Pitt and a huge director, David Fincher. Got David Fincher, you got Brad Pitt, and it's your first job. You've never been on set. And you're walking to set to spend this day, and all of a sudden, they're going to fire you. You don't belong here. You just don't belong here. This is a mistake. You're going to embarrass yourself. What else can someone say in that moment as they're driving to set in the van or they're walking to set?
So a couple things, and this might even refer back to some of the other episodes of the podcast too. One of them is that mental preparedness,
mm-hmm.
right? And another one is getting rid of that voice, right? Making that voice ridiculous and casting that away. Getting yourself, like we've talked about in this one, physically in a spot where you are physically, neurologically, like it's wired into you that you are this character. And then there's another thing that gets me too, as we're talking about it, and I go back to Jack Plotnick's book when he talks about actor soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And what he means by that is, whether it's schools, whether it's training, whether it's a workshop, whatever it might be, sometimes there's the performance and you're looking for the approval of the person. Of the director, of the teacher, the, you know, whoever it is, the guru,
right.
right? I have to act this way, and I want that person's approval. When you're going on set with Brad Pitt or whoever it might be, you are there to honor the character, and that's it. And if you play that character, and if you are that character and be that character, then we're going to go back to that same phrase, some will, some won't, so what? And if they love you, they love you. If they don't, they don't. But you have to honor that character and who you are. You've mentioned before, everything you need to know is on the page.
Yes.
Look at the ink. Look at what's there. Look who this character is. And again, honor that. And then that's all there is to it. Because again, you've been hired.
Right.
So out of everybody they could have chose, they chose you to be this person in this circumstance. And as long as you are honoring that, all the other stuff kind of fades away.
So my suggestion would be, how do you turn, like now I get excited. Now me going to that set, I'm excited. Like but I'm also at this point well-trained and been working a long time and continue to work on myself. But what's something you could say to that actor that if they were going to switch the fear to excitement? What would you say is a good mental exercise? They're driving a set. They're going to work with Brad Pitt. They got David Fincher. It's super pressure. It's all kinds of people, blah, 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 blah. And fear comes and they want to replace it with excitement.
Well, check that feeling. Because if you think about it too, even that right there, sometimes the way that we label things, we've labeled them incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
Love roller coasters. Didn't always love roller coasters. I remember the first time getting ready to get on a roller coaster, my stomach is sinking and I'm breathing heavy and I'm sweating. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die. Right? I get on the roller coaster. Guess what? I didn't die. Whoa, what an amazing thing. After however many times of riding it, now all of a sudden I can just get onto that roller coaster. But when I find a new roller coaster now, something I've never been on before, I check in with my body and I notice, wait a second, my stomach is feeling a knot. I'm starting to sweat. I'm starting to shake. I'm starting to get it. What is this? What is this? What is this? I'm excited.
Right.
But notice the fear feeling, physical manifestation, visceral connection with my body, and that excitement is the exact same thing. And the only difference is the label that I've given it.
Right. Right. Yes. Yes.
So what if you flip the label, rip off the old one? That's not fear. That's excitement.
That's what I do. And I do that all the time. I refuse to say nervous. I'm excited.
Yeah.
It's the same physicality.
Same heart feeling.
Heart's racing, you know, starting a little sweat a little bit. But the nervous is a negative connotation.
Yeah.
Excitement's a positive one.
That's it.
And I say that working with some actors I work with. And I'll tell you, another story quickly is a film. It was the biggest film I had booked at the time. And they called me and they said, hey, you just booked it. Starring role opposite Keanu Reeves. Top build, called The Whole Truth.
Mm.
But I had almost 5 weeks from the time they booked me until I started shooting, maybe 4 weeks. Every day I thought they were going to call and say, ha ha, right. We're just joking. We're just kidding. We found someone better. Right? Like every day.
Right.
I would prepare every day. I'd be preparing and I'd think, this is today. They're going to call and say today.
And I wonder how positively that affected your...
it didn't.
It didn't, did it?
No. And in fact... It's probably a month of my life where I look back and I say, man, I probably was pretty miserable to be around.
Mm.
I couldn't have been a really carefree, happy, excited guy walking around with all that.
Right.
Now, thank God I didn't get fired. I went. I had an amazing time, amazing director, amazing work with Keanu. And one thing that I learned after that was through Dr. Jason Selk, who I've talked about before in one of our episodes. He uses a thing called RSF, Relentless Solution Focus.
Mm.
Problem comes within 60 seconds. What if? What can I do about it right now?
Yeah.
And now, if I have a thought like that, I would say, okay, all right, so what if they do? If they call and say, hey, we didn't, that's okay. Rejection's God's protection.
Mm.
Someone else needed that role. Something better coming for me.
Right.
But right. I didn't have that then, so I walked around tight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the one thing I try to get now with actors is, tightness is not your friend.
No.
And even when they say, well, what if the character and what's happening in them is super tight? Okay, let's say that it is. Let's say they're wound up with anxiety. Let's mm-hmm. say. Well, between action and cut, I'm going to trust that whatever is happening to me to cause that anxiety is going to happen in that moment honestly.
Right.
I don't have to spend 12 hours before I get here doing that.
Right. By the time you're on the stage or set, you're exhausted. So try to bring up a tighten in that moment when you've already used it 12 hours before.
Because now you're just tired and exhausted. And, yep. and then you end up faking it, right? Because you've been really anxious all day and now you've got to fake it. But also, I'd love for you to just finish the last couple of minutes is being an artist is absolutely a blessing in my life. Like I can't even imagine. Like I sit here and I play my highlight reel and I think about where I came from.
Mm.
I think about what I've gotten to do, what I get to do. I think about the people I get to encourage and mentor now. And it has also been some of the most challenging parts of my life is being an artist. You know, putting yourself out there time and time again, understanding how many no's lead to yes, understanding that you not getting the part doesn't necessarily mean you weren't the best person for the job. It could have been, you know, I'm a tall guy, I'm 6'4", right? It could be height, it can mm-hmm. be look, it can be age, it can be mm-hmm. so many things that you have to let go of. But the one thing that I have noticed is the toll that being an artist takes on people when they don't have a healthy approach to the work and they don't have a healthy way of dealing with the anxiety. So I'd love for you to take a couple of minutes of just how important it really is to make sure, no matter how badly we want to do this profession, no matter how badly I want to be a very successful actor and filmmaker, it's not worth the toll if it kills me or
right.
makes me really a miserable human being that brings no light into the world. Like, I want to shine a light as an artist. I want to walk on set and I want everyone to feel better because I'm there mm-hmm. and grateful to be there. Well, that can't happen if I'm scared and anxious and miserable and worn down because of anxiety and fear.
So a couple things with that. First of all, you've got to learn how to manage that, right? Anxiety and fear, because the chances are it's not just showing up here in the work that you're doing and being the artist, it's showing up in other aspects as well, because it's a pattern of behavior. That's the way it works. Stimulus shows up some way, right? A feeling, a thought, a sensation, and then there's a response. Viktor Frankl wrote this amazing book a long time ago called Man's Search for Meaning. He was a prisoner in Auschwitz, right? And so when he was there, he said one of the things that was happening is that you would see prisoners who would, upstanding people who would do some of the most ruthless, awful things you can possibly imagine, along with the guards and all those people around them. But then you'd also see the complete opposite, guards that were absolutely compassionate and then other prisoners who were absolutely compassionate too, the last morsel given to this person. And he began to realize that between stimulus and response, there's a space. And in that space is choice. And so whatever the stimulus is for you, the pressure of this, or this went well, or this went wrong, or this person's there, or again, whatever that is, and the response, there is a choice, even if it feels like it's a millisecond, it's something there. And if that is for you to step out of that for a moment, and even think to yourself, if I was a rational person, how would I behave? If it was you pausing for a moment and breathing, drinking some water, going for a walk, doing anything that's good for you, in that right there, that's going to help to filter your response. But you got to plan that stuff in early.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do that ahead of time. It's in the same way that you're prepping for the role. You have to prep yourself for those sensations, because I'm not naive enough to say that you're never not going to feel stress or anxiety. Those are natural things we're supposed to feel in the right context. But we also have to realize how to negate those.
Right.
We have to realize how to mitigate them. We have to realize how, what are we going to do with those things that when they do show up, I have my tools already set, and this is my response.
Yeah. Yeah. And my best experiences as an actor and filmmaker have been when I went into the project really healthy.
Yeah.
Mind, body, spirit. I had prepped healthy. I was happy to be there. The times I've struggled the most, the times where I look back and I have regret, where I don't think I was my best in every facet, as most importantly, as a person, like mm-hmm. I just wasn't the best person I could be,
mm-hmm.
were the times my preparation were filled with fear and anxiety.
Yeah.
My being there was filled with fear and anxiety, and I wasn't releasing it, and I didn't have an outlet for it, and I was not vulnerable enough to admit it. Mm-hmm. Or ask someone to help mm-hmm. me, you know? So I just love talking about this stuff with you, because I think that, is there a way that we can encourage people to live your best life while you chase your best dream?
That's it.
You know, while you take the best swings at the plate and understand that every aspect of what we do, if you do it with a healthy, loving, confident, disciplined approach, can lead you somewhere good. And if you can just release fear and worry and doubt and fill yourself up with love and faith and hope and confidence and self-control.
Unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
Thanks for listening to this episode of New Thoughts for Actors and Filmmakers. If you like what you're hearing, please remember to hit that subscribe button. Connect with us at newthoughtsforactors.com and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks again, and we'll talk with you again soon.